Thaddeus McCotter of 11th Michigan, who is in Iowa. And Thaddeus, a very good evening to you. Congressman, welcome. And Malcolm and I are discovering an example of how it is we have to demonstrate again and again to the 21st century that the Jews have occupied Jerusalem for some time. They didn't arrive with the United Nations decision of 1948. Good evening, Congressman. We're going to plunge you right into the Middle Eastern affairs. Today, on the website of the White House, we learn, thanks to the New York Sun, that the Obama administration has photoshopped. They've scrubbed the website to remove the word Israel after Jerusalem, identifying where the vice president traveled in 2010. He no longer traveled to Jerusalem, Israel. He traveled just to Jerusalem. I know it's stunning. We're not making it up. Why does the White House continue to demonstrate that it does not understand the affection and alliance of Israel and the United States? Is there an explanation the public can understand, Thaddeus?
Well, not that I've seen, John. And as you know, when you try to spend all your time figuring out what dysfunctional people do, you yourself become dysfunctional. As you and Malcolm were talking about earlier, there's not only the obvious moral legitimacy in claim of the Jewish people in Israel, there's the historic legitimacy attached to the people in the land as well. And yet somehow this White House continues not only to refuse to recognize that, they refuse to recognize, as you rightly point out, that the American people stand with Israel. They recognize her as our free and dear democratic ally in that region and as a true partner for peace. So why the White House continues down this path of obstinance in terms of its relations with Israel, I do not know.
Congressman, it's Malcolm. What is your sense now of where Congress and the movement towards sanctions against Syria? We've seen the administration now finally coming out with tougher stands and calling on others to condemn the regime. Do you think there's a chance that we could see some real concrete steps that may help tilt the balance?
Oh, absolutely, and it's well long overdue. This muted response we've seen now from this administration is mind-boggling. But I assure you that people like Ileana Ross-Layton, people on the other side of the aisle like Elliot Engel and Gary Ackman and others, there's going to be a very strong bipartisan push to start doing the things that we need to do to give the Syrian people the opportunity to throw off the yoke of this barbarous Assad regime. And I would hope that type of activity continues on and trying to find support for the Green Revolution in Iran. Again, as both you and John know, it's not been a problem with the bipartisan coalition in the House. That's a broad-based coalition. It's a very well-organized coalition that we have, and we continue to do is press this administration to try to treat Iran and Syria as Ronald Reagan treated the former Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc. Support the movements for freedom in those nations so they implode beneath their people's aspirations.
Today in Britain, a number of members of the House of Commons protested the fact that England gives £86 million to the Palestinian Authority, and found out that they give £5 million, the equivalent of £5 million British pounds, to the families of terrorists, of murderous suicide bombers, and as was revealed the past few days, that they give subsidies, monthly subsidies, far more than they pay the security forces or their own civil service, to every prisoner, 5,500 prisoners. And we know that the United States is giving hundreds of millions of dollars targeted for a project. We know that money is fungible. You think that this is an issue that in as much as it doesn't seem to be getting much attention elsewhere, that the Congress will try to restrict the use of funds in order to assure that we don't continue to pay and reward these murderers?
Well, you're absolutely right, Malcolm. Money is fungible. And what has to happen, the United States has to be very careful to make sure that we aren't vicariously subsidizing the very things you're talking about, no matter how good our intention. Because what you will see then is individuals claiming to speak on behalf of the Palestinians or claiming to speak on behalf of us people will then divert the funds that they should be using for the improvement of the health, safety, and welfare of their own people and allow the West aid and the United States aid to come in and actually try to perform that gap while they divert the money that's already on hand to nefarious purposes.
Congressman, you're running for president of the United States, the nomination for the Republican Party, and it has been my disappointment in the Republican conversation so far in this first part of the campaign this year that the people have not directly addressed the chaos throughout the Arab world. It's called the Arab Spring, but it's turned into anarchy and, in Syria, mass murder. The Obama administration has no answer. It's at best ad hoc. Sometimes it's been called leading from behind. How do you see the threat to the United States in the Arab Spring? How does that threaten the security of the people of the United States?
It threatens the security of the people of the United States, and it threatens the security of our dear ally Israel and the individuals on the grassroots level of those countries involved. Look, we saw the manifestation of this, and many of us warned about it. People like myself, Ambassador Bolton, you, Malcolm, when we saw the United States precipitously ask for Mubarak's removal before a constructive process could be put forward in Egypt to allow for a republic that respected the rights and the voices of responsible citizens calling for freedom there, so that they could exclude the radical extremists whose rise we are now seeing, namely the Ikhwan and the Muslim Brotherhood. And in that type of rise within that country, that failure of diplomacy, that failure to recognize the problem in that country alone has helped to start the undermining what I believe to be the foundation of the future peace in that region, which is the Camp David Accord. So what you see in Ames tonight, what you see elsewhere, people who are really not very well versed in this and seem to have not only a lack of a broader perspective on the issue, but seem to obviously, because of it, have no solutions to the problem.
Syria, Congressman. Directly right now, we get no accurate reporting, but we believe that it's a surrogate battlefield between Saudi Arabia and Tehran. The Obama administration has no answer other than finger-waving and tisk-tisking. What is a better approach for the United States?
What the United States has to do is watch our strategic interests. We have to watch the strategic interests of our allies in the region. And we have to make sure that while some of them may be imperfect and we press for internal reforms, we do not precipitously abandon them. I think that we have to send that message loud and clear, that the credibility of the United States in defense of her interests and the interests of her allies remain, and we are committed to see that they are not impaired, that we are continued to see the support of movements through diplomatic and economic means, such as the Green Revolution or the revolution against Assad, to bring down those regimes. If we continue to try to dither, if we continue to try to be liked rather than respected, John, we will be neither. Our interests will be endangered, and so will the individuals who are currently aligned with the United States, many of whom are still reeling from the precipitous abandonment of Mubarak, and now his trial is sending the very wrong message that we need sent throughout that region.
Congressman Thaddeus McCotter is a candidate for the Republican nomination for president. He's coming to us from Iowa, from the Iowa State Fair. Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batchelor.